after you finished boarding school, what happened next?
Well, I fell pregnant during my last year of boarding school, so I became a single mum for quite a while. I had to stop the dream of going to university and being an actor and all of that because I just wanted to be the best mum I could be, so I spent a lot of time at home doing exactly that. And then when Phoenix, my son, became old enough to start going to school, I had more time on my hands, so I decided that I wanted to do a bit of acting and go to drama school instead of uni. So I moved so that I would have a family network that could help me do that. But then my first audition for RADA, which I didn't know at the time was an important and quite well-respected establishment, I didn't quite know what I was walking into, so I auditioned with no experience, no proper time with theatre and TV or anything like that. So I just put all of my energies into being a parent, that I hadn't been able to see enough plays or read plays or go to drama classes or anything like that. So they obviously picked up on that when I went to audition, and they said, get yourself warmed up, you know, flex those muscles and try and go and see plays, read stuff, join drama groups and be a part of the theatre world again. So I did exactly that for 1 year, and I got a contract with BBC and worked on Casualty. Watched my Casualty and I thought, oh my god, I'm a terrible actress and definitely need training. So I went back to RADA and asked them if I was ready, and they said I was, so I got in and spent 3 years training to be a better actor than I was when I first started. For 3 years, drama school, RADA, had really considered how to change their practice and bring in interpreters, communication support workers, adjusted some of their classes. My year group really embraced and supported me on that journey. Being the first deaf actor trained at RADA was testament to RADA and also the staff that wanted to believe that a deaf person could graduate and be successful in their career, and because of that, and because of them, I did, and I've not stopped working since I graduated, and I think the training has really boosted my potential, and I know that in the few years of not having any money and bringing up a child on my own was a challenge, and then going through 3 years as a single mum but with a child that wanted me to go through my training, wanted me to become an actress and wanted me to achieve my dreams, because that was the role model that I could best be. I don't think without Phoenix and without the people at RADA that I would have achieved as much. It's given the opportunity and the belief that I'm not just the first person that's been trained, but so far the pool of actors that are deaf and that are trained is so small, because there's not many doors being opened for deaf people to receive training. So I'm one of the lucky ones, but it's also given me the belief in myself, because I was always told that deaf people can't be actors, they can't achieve particular things in life. I know I have the benefit, the privilege of speech, but that's not the thing that drove me, that's not the thing that got me where I am today. That's the thing that is just another tool in my, you know, in my back pocket that will help me in some areas, but I believe that I still could have got where I was because I was driven by that and I was supported by the right people. I think it's important to say that speech is a benefit and a privilege that not everybody has been given, but you can't abuse that and you can't rely on that and you can't say that that is the thing that makes you successful, because it isn't. There's plenty more successful people in life that don't have that, but they have a richer experience of language and a family.
do you believe that there are enough training opportunities for deaf actors?
I would love to believe that there are enough drama schools that have opened their doors for deaf actors, but there aren't. There's deaf actors who don't believe that drama school is a place for them because they will often get rejected. And I think there's only so many rejections before you start thinking, okay, well, I have to choose another path, another way of getting into the acting world. But with that comes limitations. You don't know enough techniques, you don't know enough skills to broaden your skill set, that you can't go into a room and provide many different styles or different understandings of text or different ways of performing. Your options are so limited that when you go for auditions, you feel stuck and you feel like you can't compete with maybe other people who've had training and that they go into a room with that advantage. But I do think that more drama schools should be sort of less frightened of not being able to audibly hear what the auditionee is saying. And I think in that respect, if you have a deaf person in a room, that you should have a deaf audition panel or somebody on the panel that can rightly say, yes, that person has potential, that person has talent, but you can't really pick on that because you are focusing so much with that. I can focus on everything else, and I can see that if you adjust your classes, if maybe some classes will focus on singing, maybe you can take the actor out and then give them more training in Meisner technique or improv or something. You have a one-on-one session with a teacher that can help you improve in areas that are within your capability. It's also about drama schools believing that this is not just a language, but it's also an art form. And if you put the effort and the energy into this art form, then it will pay off. You know, the world is starting to recognise what that is and what it can provide and how much richer it can make a show or a programme. With that, you need to train those actors that have that skill to be able to perform roles that should be rightfully given to them and not like deaf characters given to hearing people who've learned a little bit of sign language over 2 weeks. But for a deaf audience that watch, we know that you've just recently learned it and that you are not a deaf person. In some ways, I understand why hearing actors are being cast in like particular programmes, because of the limited pool of actors that are out there, deaf actors that are out there that can perform the roles that they want. But at the same time, I strongly believe that if you don't have the people to tell that story, don't tell that story. You know, if you want to write about a deaf character, you want to make a show about a deaf character, then you need to put the work in to find that deaf actor, to train them up to be good enough, to look hard enough, to do outreach in your auditioning, go to different areas, have an open casting, work harder to find the right people. Don't be lazy and just say, oh, we'll just get a hearing person who can pretend and then give them an Oscar for performing the best deaf actor. It's been done so many times now over the years, and we are bored of it, and quite a lot of hearing audience members are watching it thinking, actually, I've started to be irritated by the fact that you are not casting the right people. I notice, because I now have friends who are deaf or family members who are deaf, and I notice that that is not truthful, and there are plenty of deaf actors who could do that role. If you want more deaf actors to do that role, give them the opportunities to grow. And so how is anyone going to be recognised if they're not given the opportunity? How is any deaf actor going to grow in their career if they are not given the roles to shine? And if it's always given to the same people to pretend to be deaf, then you are disparaging the community, and the community will come back at you. You know, there's a backlash, and you will get that every time. And if you want to represent that community and that story truthfully and rightfully, then cast the right people, or don't tell that story. It does anger a lot of us, because then you're saying that there's nobody out there, there's nobody who could do that job, and you're underestimating the potential of deaf actors that are out there. So it's like catch 22, so they're not good enough or there's not enough of them, but you won't train them and you won't give them opportunity to be good enough. So you're just limiting them all the time, just using hearing actors and using excuses of, oh, we can't find anyone. So that's just going to keep going round and round and round. We need to break it. It's just not enough of an excuse anymore. It's just lazy.